I'm Michael Fox, and this is the Metals, Money, and Markets Report for September the 22nd. And joining me, as always, so we have the mercenary geologist, Mickey Falk. Welcome, Mickey.
Thanks, Mike.
It's good to be back in the saddle after being over in Eastern Europe for a couple of weeks. It doesn't look like I missed a whole lot. I got back just in time to hear Powell's interest rate statement and subsequent talking down of the markets and kind of a bit of a turd in the punch bowl.
Hawkish statements came from Chairman Powell. Gold didn't move much all week, but it did move up when no interest rate increase was announced on Wednesday morning, and it immediately went down when he had his press conference. So, essentially no volatility other than that. Closed at 925, up $3. Silver was up a little bit more than 2%, 53 cents to close at 2352. Platinum 927, lost $1. Palladium 1228, gained $3. So not a lot of movement. What's surprising to me, this should be the seasonal uptick in gold. Happens nearly every year with Indian festival and wedding season. We haven't seen that this year yet.
No, we haven't. The markets have been pretty meh for the precious metals most of the summer. How about the industrial metals? What did copper do this week?
Well, the industrial metals did not like Chairman Powell's statement, and that makes sense. Hawkish Fed. Strong dollar this week again, high interest rates for the foreseeable future, and more inventories, especially in London, all conspired to take copper a dime lower. That's a big move for copper. Close at 371. And the cash to threes collapsed toward the end of the week, and we're looking at big backwardation right now. A lot of that has to do with inventories that have come in, and cancel warrants are very low.
Yeah, the ratios look like they've been pretty stable this week over the previous week, so nothing really exciting to report there. Energy prices, oil took a small step backwards.
Yeah, it was up earlier in the week, but once again, the resource sector did not particularly like Chairman Powell's statement. Oil closed at 90.40, down 94 cents on the week. That's a 1% loss, and that really is an anomaly because oil's been up for about 3 months now, and with a few pullbacks. Looking at the numbers, rigs minus 11. Now we are at a 1.5 year low for rigs turning the right in the U.S. Production, 12.9 million barrels a day. That's flat. Inventories dropped 2.1 million barrels. Imports were off a million barrels, but last week's number of 7.5 was quite anomalous. We're back to 6.5, but that's still pretty high. Refineries at 16.6 million barrels per day. That's $100,000 loss. Gasoline is once again at a 52 week high now at $3.88 per gallon in the U.S. The market is really being driven, this bullish market in oil, despite a drop this week, by U.S. supply deficits, and U.S. shale oil has peaked in July and projected to go down from there. And also this week, the Ruskies came up and said no more fuel exports to the Eurozone, and diesel jumped dramatically across the pond.
Yeah, there was a couple of analysts that put the planned price of oil by the end of the year as high as 120 US a barrel. So it's, you know, it's I think it's got some legs to still rise. This is just a little bit of a pause. But over to the other part of energy, uranium has been on a tear. It's been an 8-week winning streak.
Yeah, yesterday it closed at 67.25. I did not get today's number yet. That's a 12-year high, pre-Fukushima high, if you will. But curiously, the equities have stalled out, and they are still trading below their 17-month high, somewhere around 90% of where they were at in April of 2021. Big news on the uranium front. Sprott Uranium Trust has announced they're going to raise another $125 million by issuing shares to buy more U308 for their stockpile. I did the numbers. That's a little, at the current price, that would be a little less than 2 million pounds added to their approximately 62 million pounds they hold right now.
Yeah, that's been a big boon for the uranium business, having Sprott coming in with the spud and driving the prices up. And we'll see if that continues on. But, you know, more bullets in their pistol, so to speak. So markets didn't, and the commodities didn't do particularly well with Powell's announcement this week, but the dollar continued on its upward trend.
That it did. The dollar closed at 105.61. That's up 30 basis points on the week. Euro was basically flat at 1.065. Looney added, 24 basis points to close at 74.17. But the real news came from the central banks, the U.S., the Fed, the Swiss, the Bank of England, all let rates stay the same. And basically, the thing that went up this week was the 10-year Treasury, although it dropped a bit today, closed at 4.44%. That's a 17-year high. And what we've noticed, and everybody, not just us, but this is well known, when rates go up, stocks go down. So the markets went down this week.
Yeah, you know, when Powell took the stage to start to make his statement, you can actually see the lemmings jump off the cliff. It was a very precipitous drop then.
Well, basically, the Fed heads are ignoring oil prices as a prime input into inflation. And if you take a look at the CRB, the commodities index over the last year, and it has soared. So, and a lot of that, once again, has to do with the cost of energy, because natural resources are mined and the biggest inputs are energy and labor, and both those are up over the last year. Housing numbers were down. Inflation plus high mortgage rate, some approaching 9% now. We've got auto strikes ongoing. For some reason, auto workers want to work 32 hours a week and get paid for 40. and the real question is, why are 300 PhD economists running our country? And that's because we're Jerome Powell's bitch. And I will say that for all markets, it makes no sense at all to have a bunch of academic economists running an entire country. But that's the paradigm that we are faced with right now. Let's go through the numbers. Dow lost almost 2% to close at 33,964. S&P 500, 43.20, almost a 3% loss. The VIX is right at average over its 33-year history, about 17. NASDAQ, 13,212, lost over 3.5% on the week.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that the TSXV had a dismal week given the commodity state.
Well, the TSXV closed at its year-to-date low of 570. Again, there's no bids, there's no way out, and we're in a 12-year bear market, and it's a broken sector. And I neglected to mention that our title is Bitch, which is a famous Rolling Stones song from Sticky Fingers in 1971.
Well, given your comments about Powell, that is a most appropriate Rolling Stones tune to pick.
Well, thank you.
So today was a quiet day for economic news, but what bodes for next week?
Well, we got some big numbers next week. We've got the all-important consumer confidence number. We've got some home sales coming on Tuesday and Thursday. We've got durable goods on Wednesday. And the aforementioned Powell, who wants to continue making us his bitch, is going to speak at a Washington, D.C. town hall on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sure nothing bad could happen from that. So this week's poll question.
Okay, this may not have a lot of meaning to Canadians, but it certainly does to Americans. The question is the self-described Senator John Fetterwoman, number one, a revolting slob, number two, a mental moron, number three, a proxy to his wife, or number four, you can make your choice, all or none, and we would appreciate your comment on that one.
Well, as a Canadian, yeah, that kind of falls a little bit on deaf ears. I assume you're talking about the dress code in the Senate.
Well, it's much more than that. That's part of it, certainly.
But, you know, if I could get away with, you know, if I was a senator and get away with wearing shorts and a hoodie, I probably would too. They're a lot more comfortable than the suit and ties. But, you know, it does not bode well for a good look.
So I'm going to go with choice four and all of the above.
I see. So look forward to next week. Hopefully we will have some better news to look forward to. And hopefully there's no more punch bowl turds being given by Powell in his town hall.
Well, I don't know what kind of good news we can have next week, but I appreciate your optimism.
Well, you know, I have to be glass half full sometimes.
Understood.
Okay, look forward to chatting again next week, Mickey.
Thanks, Mike.
The Metals, Money, and Markets Weekly is syndicated by our friends at Kitco.com. Mickey Falp and his musings can be found at mercenarygeologist.com and on Twitter at mercenarygeo. And I'm Michael Fox, published at theprospectornews.com. Thank you for listening, and please join us again next week.